it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports and in football, it's a violent game, and we're trying to find patterns here to fit certain narratives. Is it Kyle Shanahan? Is it the training staff? Is it the turf that they're playing? I don't know.
No, but you would, if you were running a business that was worth $10 billion, you would hire someone from the outside if you had a specific problem with whatever it was with your employees and it kept reoccurring and you didn't have answers. You would hire a firm from the outside in to at least analyze what is the competitor doing and why are they able to stay more efficient, more healthy, whatever the thing is that you're looking to diagnose, you would hire someone from the outside to kind of just evaluate what you're doing from top to bottom and compare and contrast that to everyone else in the league.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan more from his media conference call yesterday, talking about the Kittle and the Brock Purdy and the Juwan Jennings injuries.
And Joe, they might come back to you and say, there's nothing you can do. It is just unfortunate or luck or whatever word you want to use to describe it. Now, on toe injuries, turf toe is a very loose term, okay?
I never knew what that meant. Yeah, can you
basically
explain
the big,
it
it's like
me.
The big toe. And it can be from a strain to a type of bruise. I mean, it's a widely used kind of phrase, if you will. It's like saying, I got a sprained knee. I mean, what's the degree and how severe is it? And, you know, how bad was the blow? And was it a traumatic blow? Was it a tweak? But basically, they did a deep dive between 2010 and 2015, okay? And the average per year, you have about 71 toe injuries, okay, per year. That's what they're saying.
Damn.
It's a lot. Now, but that includes practice squad players. This is back when. And 29 of these injuries were on grass, 29 on turf, 13 unidentified. The average missed time was 3 1/3 games. 9 players placed on injured reserve, 8 required surgery, 16 offensive players. Like they did this whole deep dive. Right? So it could be a game. It could be 8 games. It could be somewhere in between. Who knows?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a very unknown injury.
And it's not just going to go away. That's the thing. Like, as we know about toes, I mean, we like to walk every single day. You can't do anything without them. And he's not going to be able to be the same quarterback if he's dealing with a nagging injury like this. Now you can take some pain medication, but eventually, as we've talked about, it connects everything. The feet, it connects. It's just a trickle-down effect of everything. And I am very concerned about this game in particular because, again, he's not going to be playing on natural grass this week. It's going to be played on a rubber surface with rubber pellets that do not have enough give. And there is something to be said about the lower leg injuries, whether it's knee, feet, calves, whatever. There is a correlation between those types of surfaces and soft tissue types of injury. Now, I don't know how much of a soft tissue this injury is. Is it the bone? I have no idea. Kyle Shanahan, again, talking about Brock Purdy's toe/shoulder injuries. Matty Barrows, The Athletic, asking the question.
One of those two Purdy injuries more severe than the other, and he in risk of missing a start or two?
I'd probably say the toe's worse than the shoulder.
And what about his availability this week?
Yeah, we're not sure. We got to see how it heals and how the week goes on it.
Okay, so that's on Brock.
That's not good.
What's going on with Juwan Jennings, Kyle, and his shoulder?
How severe Juwan Jennings' shoulder injury could be?
No, the MRI was good. We're just waiting for a CT.
All right. George Kittle, hurt hamstring. You think he's going to have to go on IR, Kyle?
I mean, when they tell me a few weeks, you know, it's always a possibility. I mean, in order to do that, it's got to be a four-week injury. So I don't think we've decided on that yet.
And finally, any reports on Christian McCaffrey or Trent Williams?
Yeah, I got no reports on either of them today. So I'm sure they're normal soreness from a physical football game, but their injuries were no reports on them. So that means they're good.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better today. Albeit Trent Williams' performance in week one didn't give me a lot of faith going forward. Hopefully he bounces back. He is a Hall of Famer after all, but he's also getting older. Kind of like we were talking about with George Kittle. The reason why, you know, we could point to here with the soft tissue injury, he's going to be 32 next month. There's a lot of wear and tear on that body. Like, those things happen. Like, I don't want to sit here and sound like we were shocked when the Steph Curry injury happened. What did we all talk about? All that workload he had in that first round against the Houston Rockets. Not saying it's like for like the same thing, but when you get older, those injuries happen. That's baked into the equation, Joe. Similar with George Kittle. Now, it sucks because he played all in training camp and he was contributing. That one I could wrap my head around. It's the Brock Purdy one that has me the most concerned right now. After we just paid him to be the highest paid player in the history of the franchise, he's got a toe injury in week one, and that's not something I think is just going to go away.
Well, and another shoulder injury, too.
Yes.
Which that ended his elbow and shoulder kind of ended his year
and
last
thankfully
year.
Thankfully, it's the non-throwing one, but doesn't mean it's any less painful. Like, right? Like, and he has to, like, move it around.
Why did Jeff Garcia get released from the 49ers 20 years ago?
Tell me why.
It's accumulation of injuries. Yeah. Like, that's what happened. He just got too hurt. They were expensive, all these players. Him, Hurst, T.O., they were going through a reset. But, like, if we boil it down, injuries. The body gave out on him.
And how big was Jeff Garcia?
About Brock Purdy size. A little taller, little skinnier, but about Brock size. And similar play style.
And Drew Brees, similar. A guy that kind of stayed healthy for most of his career. But remember, early on, San Diego Chargers days, he was getting hurt a lot. People had a lot of question marks there.
I go Jimmy G. Jimmy G, like, why was Jimmy G not the quarterback, and why did they move up to go get Trey Lance? You could say, hey, the coach was frustrated with the play, and that was a part of it. It was the injuries.
You couldn't trust the body holding up. You just couldn't. That was the big part of it.
And physically, today, Jimmy Garoppolo is a lesser version physically than what he was 2019.
Absolutely. Now he is the backup of Matt Stafford, who is also dealing with injuries.
So you've got like this whole Brock thing of like the injuries and stuff. And so I just ask these questions out loud. Forget New Orleans and how good you think they are. We all agree you can't sleep on any opponent in the NFL. So just, this is not about New Orleans. If you're worried about your quarterback, even a little, in the NFL, who is your franchise quarterback that you just paid, do you even want to see him play on Sunday? I think if he wants to suit up and he wants to play, you play him. But I also understand having a long-term view of, hey, you know, you got to protect him. You got to do what's right. I just think about, hey, if Josh Allen's ready to go, he plays. If Burrow's ready to go, he plays. If Lamar's ready to go, he plays. If Purdy is ready to go and he wants to play, I play him. Because I don't know if come week 15, 16, 17, you're still in it. We don't know. So while the season is still fresh and still ready to go, I understand trying to be patient and you have to take the pragmatic long-term view. It's week to week. And if he's good to go, I think you got to play him.
By the way, be listening in the 7 o'clock hour around when we're coming back around 7:18. You're going to want to be listening for this sounder, Carter. Because that's going to be your first opportunity to win a pair of tickets for the Saturday night Giant Dodgers game. So be listening around then. Plus, you'll have another opportunity in the 8 o'clock hour, but you got to be listening to the show and know Brian Baldinger and what he says during the 7:30 interview we have with him. So between 7:30, 8 o'clock, we have Baldy on. He's going to say something. You got to be paying attention. We're going to ask a question about said interview in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll hit the sounder. Call then to the contest line. In the meantime, people want to talk injuries.
Yeah,
right,
let's,
now,
let's
Joey,
talk to them.
Let's go to the phones. Doug is in Wichita.
What's
wants
up,
to
Doug?
Join the conversation. What's up, Doug?
Hey, good morning, guys. Bang, bang, Niner gang, right?
Huh. Yeah, well, so, they're banged up Niner
bang,
gang.
Bang, bang, Gurney gang.
Yeah, that too. That as well. So the difference between being hurt and being injured, I get the impression Purdy's hurt. That's okay. It's not his throwing shoulder. The toe, well, like Shanahan said, remains to be seen, I guess. But if he feels like he can go, he needs to be out there. Definitely needs to be out there.
I'm with you.
I think Kittle's actually injured. And my strategy would be, one of y'all was talking about, even going through and not tried to get him ready for the Rams, I think that's what we need him back by. Like, if he comes up, says, hey, I'm ready to go, man, you throw him in there. And that game right there, I think we can get with the Cardinals, with or without him. Not worried about that. I know they're kind of a thorn in our side or whatnot. But the Rams game is the one where I'm like, nah, don't want it. If we can go full strength or as close to it as we can, we got to do it.
What about the game 3 days or 4 days before that, the Jaguar game on the 28th? Would you not have him play in that game?
Hey, if I'm coach and he's telling me, coach and guys, I'm ready to roll, I go with my athlete, man.
Okay.
They know their bodies. They know their bodies. It's the difference between hurt and injured, you know? And okay. If he says, hey, injury's good to go and it's clear on whatever, doctors say you're good, let him roll out there. But strategically, by the Rams, I would not have a problem if they said, you know what, we're going to hold you out until the Rams. Period. I got no problem with that.
It would be about half to 4 weeks, give or take, if he sat out until the Rams game. Technically, probably closer to 4 weeks.
I'm very curious to see what the Juwan Jennings update's going to be there, too, because now we're talking about, it's one thing with Kittle, but then you double down to lose your number one wide receiver from last year. This is where, Joe, I'm starting to think about it. The DeMarcus Robinson suspension really hurts them.
Oh, no doubt.
This is like, that's what I'm going back to. Him missing these first three games is brutal for them right now.
How sad of a sentence is that, though? As you look at the Eagles and how loaded they are, the DeMarcus Robinson injury really suspension really does in the Niners.
I mean,
how thin they are.
But that's how thin. But also, like, these are their top two pass catchers. So, like, if the equivalent for the Eagles would be if they lost Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, quite frankly. Or Dallas Goedert, I guess, in this case, and A.J. Brown.
And Jalen was hurt.
Yeah, and Jalen was hurt. Like, that would be the equivalent for them. They don't have to deal with that. But again, they always have people in the pipeline to, you know, go up. Didn't they just trade for someone from Jacksonville yesterday?
Yeah.
Someone,
Tank,
I forget.
Bisbee.
Tank Bisbee. There you go, the running back there. So they got some depth. 888-957-9570.
So do you want Brock Purdy to play? Let's say, you know, it's up in the air. And he wants to go. Medical staff's kind of like iffy. I'm just going to a hypothetical. Do you play him?
No.
Why?
I don't play Brock Purdy this week because I don't want him to aggravate an injury and him potentially miss more weeks after this. We already saw the offensive line last week, Joe. I'm very nervous about it. I'm very concerned. And if he has to run for his life with a hampered toe this week on the artificial turf, hurts it even more, gets sacked more, I'm telling you. Those touchdowns and those, you know, scrambles that he had are going to turn into losses.
I don't love Mac Jones behind this O-line considering what I saw last week.
Well, I don't love Brock Purdy behind this O-line is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at here. But is the offensive line going to get better at any point this season? Like, I don't know.
But, But when you pay a guy $55 million, $53 million a year, if he's good to go, he plays.
But you also got to protect that investment. There's a double-edged sword there, right?
If it was Josh Allen, would he play?
Well, if it was, let's say, Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson has a toe injury this week, I don't know about that. They might protect Lamar from himself and say, you know what? We'll go with whoever backup we have.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I would probably assume that he would play, but I don't have a great feel for, you know, his injury history and how often he's played when he's dinged up. I just know Brock is a gamer, and he's going to want to play.
Is there part of you, and I get it, I know what you said, you're like, you don't want to see Mac Jones at all behind this offensive line?
No, I just I don't like the fit right now, Mac, with this O-line. This early in the year when they look so, like, I think it's still preseason for that O-line.
Does it matter that it is the second game of the year? Have this been like week 4, 5, 6, 7, this injury pops up, you got a couple more games of breathing room, maybe you're a couple games over 500.
Oh, no, then it would be a different scenario.
Then you have but the fact that they're 1-0,
early
in the year, you got to see what you got to throw them out there.
I mean, and Mac missed time with an injury himself in camp. I mean, he hurt his knee.
He did.
Where's he at?
That's a great question. And then all of a sudden, if Brock misses this game, who's the backup to the backup, right?
This brings me to my third string quarterback rant from 3 weeks ago. If there is ever a team that should never mess around with nepotism roster spots as the third quarterback, it's the San Francisco 49ers.
Nepo babies?
No, it's like, shame on, like, honestly, all the things people lose their mind on, shame on Lynch and shame on Shanahan for doing the whole Carter Bradley thing.
Bust.
Like, no. It's not. I'm not even joking.
Explain to the audience why it's nepo.
Carter
baby.
Bradley is Gus Bradley's kid.
Okay.
They brought him in because it's clearly his kid. And I get it. Like, you're going to get opportunities if you're related to someone. Like, I understand that. You drafted a guy as a quarterback who was already hurt. Then you brought in Carter Bradley. The third quarterback position at this in this team for this franchise should never be some like random dude who's just, hey, we're just going to give him a chance. And we're going to of all the teams, as you referenced, all the injuries that this organization has been through over the last 6-7 years, and you did what you did. And we watched after one series, everyone in America was like, Carter Bradley's not even NFL. He's not even practice squad related. Like, shame on them.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the Free Odyssey app and coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We got Brian Baldinger.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.